This is better, but you're not so loud.
What?
Keep talking, man. It's pretty weak.
Hello, 1-2. 1-2.
Yeah, you're pretty good, yes.
Now I'm good. Okay, good. Thank you.
You're
Hello, this is Ron in Mountain Grove.
Ron in Mountain Grove, good evening to you and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi.
And while we were testing the mic, we had more people come in. Welcome, everybody. And if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Joel in Chicago.
Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Mary D., San Luis Obispo.
San Luis Obispo. All right. Welcome to the call. Hello, Claire. Welcome to the call.
Who did?
I just muted everybody, and I'm just going to say hello to everyone tuning in on PBS, and we'll be starting in just a minute.
Did.
Thank you, Ed. All right.
Do we have Jerry on the line?
Yes.
Terry Brown, how are you doing, Terry?
Hi, thank you. Sure.
All right. We have more people join in. Welcome, everybody, and if you have a chance, please say your name and location.
This is Kathy from Sacramento.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the Monday call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi. It's Tina from Asheville, North Carolina.
Hi, Tina. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Leah from Florida.
Well, thanks. Who's
that
from Florida?
Shirley, yes, from Florida.
This is Steve from West Palm Beach.
Hello, Steve from West Palm Beach. Welcome to the call. And I'm still the gentleman from Florida. I didn't copy your name.
Shirley, yes.
All right. Welcome to the call.
You're welcome.
Hi, it's Dean.
Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi, it's James. Send to us.
James, Rick.
Yes, this is Larry. This is Larry in Northwestern Wisconsin.
Hello, Larry. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Uh-oh, Larry, you another announcement?
No, but I've been told I sound like one.
Oh, that's crap. Gotta remember
who did?
Hang out, Gwen.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, it's almost a lot, but we can hear you clear, yes.
All right. Well, the other alternative is, you know what, I can see the audio on the Skype on the panel here, so I'll just keep an eye on it. And start a recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 1st, 2012. Winfrey and Sedona with Terry Brown and Sedona. And let's see, we got to mute those things. Can you mute those things? Mute the dings.
I got it, Evan, yes.
Thank you. So, as you know, we're in the middle of a world that's on a roller coaster, and each of us is in the middle of our own universe, trying to negotiate the ride. And there's all kinds of things going on. If you're reading the news, which I don't usually do, but I looked at it a little bit today, talking about the Middle East, and are we going to invade Iran, and is China and Russia going to come to Iran's defense, and are ETs or Ra Group going to stop nuclear weapons from going off, if that ever came to that? I hope so. Maybe it's partially up to people like us who are holding the space for transformation. Well, I had a topic today, and the idea of this topic is that maybe each of us, including me, will get a better understanding of interdimensional dynamics. And some of this stuff I've drawn my own conclusions about from all my conversations with our sources, plus things that I was doing years ago, like astrology. And I remember when I was first studying astrology, and I was a physics major, and I actually was studying it because my friend Jillian was into astrology, and I thought she was nuts, but I used to learn everybody's signs, and I would occasionally then pick the sign of somebody that I just met because they reminded me of someone else. So I became very, very fascinated that how could I do this? And I started doing astrology charts, and I probably did a few hundred charts at the time. And it was my first direct experience of proving to myself that it worked, because it did work. So how does this stuff work? You know, we are in our little bodies. I started talking about this a little bit yesterday. I'm going to expand on it quite a bit today. And then we'll have a discussion if Terry's up for it on some of this. Is Daphne on the line? No. Okay. Actually, Daphne has been an astrologer for a good portion of her life. So she went through that route. So here's my take on the way things work. Inside each of us, there is a thing called DNA. And DNA is like a miniature universe inside you. And it models the outer universe to a certain degree, but it models it uniquely according to you. So, for example, you know, you all have heard me call in the light, and we have this energy that comes from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the solar system, through the planets. Well, my intuitive take on this, and this is something that I started thinking about years ago, that when that energy was passing through the planets, in fact, wherever it was passing, even the galaxies, it was constantly getting modified. It was getting spins. It was getting interfacing with all the energies it was passing through until it got to Earth. And that when you were born, that energy now had an imprint of the universe on it. And it imprinted your DNA with that imprint. Now, there were other aspects that were imprinting your DNA. There was your past lifetime. As we know, people look like their past lifetime. There is the energy of your parents and the local world, i.e., wherever you are in somewhere on this planet. You have a society, you have neighbors, you have parents, and everything is in constant interaction with your DNA. Now, I think your DNA is the smallest part of the interaction between these energies, but perhaps there's another, and we'll be exploring it. So now your DNA is imprinted with the universe. It's like a mini universe that got imprinted with the maxi universe, and you're walking around carrying that mini universe inside of you. And all the ways the energy got changed, changed is not exactly the right word. That energy got adjusted as it passed through the energies of the planets, as it passed through everything else on its way here. Every way that energy got adjusted was now imprinted in you. And so the different aspects, if you study astrology, you find out that there's all these planetary aspects where planetary energies work together or where they don't work together. And they were called squares and trines. And you're walking around with that imprint of the universe in you with all the squares and trines. And of course, astrology describes in personality ways the manner in which those energies are impacted by the planets. So, for example, each planet has a certain quality to it, and each sign has a certain quality to it. And the moment you're born, you're imprinted with all the exact positions of the planets, the signs they're in, their aspects to each other. And you're probably imprinted, although this is not in astrology, with the galaxies and the universe. But those are further away and slower, much slower changing. So it's the things that change rapidly that make the most differentiation. And if you study astrology, you would find that the outer planets, like Pluto, Uranus, and Neptune, which are slow moving, sometimes they don't change from one sign to the next for perhaps 10 to 20 years or more. And in astrology, those planets are said to explain the differences between generations. And then the faster moving planets and the moon more accurately represent the specific personality aspects. Well, when I was studying astrology, I got the idea that what if you could go above astrology in your consciousness? And that if you did, you would be operating, how would I say it, beyond the influence, at least as an extreme, of all these planets. And you're still in the influence, just like you're always going to have the same body. And it's like, what moves through that body? Now, if you understand what I've said so far, you can understand a little bit about the shift that everyone's talking about. The shift that we're in right now, this thing about December 21st, 2012. And apparently, and we're going to ask questions about this, apparently there is an alignment of the galaxies. And our galaxy and the planets, which make that energy that is flowing in from the universe stronger than it has ever been in the history of mankind. And that means that there is an opportunity to allow that energy to impact your DNA and lift you to new possibilities faster than ever before. But to have that energy come into you, you need to have a certain degree of energetic openness. Now, those of you who are on the Sunday calls, for example, are feeling that energy, and that on those calls, I strive, and I didn't know I could do this. This is all experimental, but I strive to create the most openness of everyone to feel those energies, which, by my theory, allows the DNA to accelerate really fast. And that's why when people come in the calls, as they feel those energies, as they get used to it, it starts to stick and last through the week after a while for some people. Now, the pyramids, the mystery of the pyramids, if you're familiar with pyramids, not the Egyptian pyramids, but the idea of pyramids, the idea that when you put fruit under a pyramid, a little pyramid in your kitchen, it doesn't go as rancid as fruit that's not under a pyramid. Things tend to be fresher. I remember years ago that I read books on this, and razor blades would stay sharper longer if they were put under a little pyramid. Well, the reason this happens is because the pyramid concentrates this energy so that there's a transference to anything that's in it. Well, the idea of the pyramids in Egypt were to create initiation chambers where people could go and allow this energy to flow through their system and accelerate their DNA and come out stronger, more open, more loving, more connected as a result of this. So apparently there were a lot of rituals that went with sleeping in the pyramids overnight or for a period of time so that the energies could be enlivened. Now, today, I don't believe you need a pyramid to do that because the energies are so strong coming in through the cosmos that it's there right now. And you just have to get yourself out of the way so those energies can bathe you. Now, how do you get yourself out of the way? Well, first of all, you have to work out your human issues. You have to go through your worthiness issues. But to me, the fastest way, the very fastest way, is when we gather with other people. Because when we gather with other people, I should add to that, for a high spiritual intent, we create a vortex. And the vortex opens us up to those energies. And some of you felt at the moment I said that, the energy on this call shifted. So my theory is that we're creating a vortex on this call. And we're doing it together. And the Bible, what did Jesus say? When two or more are gathered, same principle. Why do people meditate in groups? Same principle. Because when people come together for a higher purpose, there's a vortex. And it's the principle behind gathering in churches. Gathering in yoga groups, it doesn't matter. As long as there's a high intent, there's a vortex. And that vortex opens you up to this influx of energy. So each of you has the challenge of where you can do that. And that's aside from the challenge of earning a living, paying your bills, dealing with all the things going on in the world, but learning how to gather where you can gather and feel that energy, because when that energy comes in, it automatically creates community, camaraderie, love, and it starts to work on you and your DNA so that you can expand. Now, this idea of microcosm and macrocosm, you can think of many things besides astrology that represent that or use that principle. You could, now I don't understand palm reading, but I would guess that your palm is a macrocosm of your consciousness. I would guess that when you use tarot or when you use I Ching, if you develop the right relationship, the universe is all these energetic holograms. And the tarot, for example, is these. I've never done the tarot, but this is my. I think I intuitively have some idea of how it works. When you use the tarot, each card is designed to match an aspect of the hologram. Now, in astrology, the hologram I'm talking about is planets. And I'm not sure, there's probably a connection between the tarot and planets. But the idea is that in this moment, everything is present. And that if you turn these cards over with the right degree of concentration, with the right degree of expansiveness, cards are going to reflect this moment as they interface between the hologram of the universe and the hologram inside you, the microcosm. And, of course, that interfaces with the world, with your neighbors, with relationships, with opportunities. And so, theoretically, you can take a snapshot of the moment by turning these cards over, and with the goal of triggering some subconscious things which help you understand and position yourself. Now, when I was younger, I used to do the I Ching, which was a similar idea. It was a book of Chinese 64 chapters, and each chapter was a particular concept, like holding together, like splitting apart, like possession in great measure. And then there were sub-things in the chapters, and that you decided what you were going to read by flipping three coins six times. And when I did it, I was totally amazed at how precise it worked out. And I said, how does this work? At a certain point, I stopped doing it. And the problem with these divination-type things, where they can screw up, is that it takes a snapshot of the moment. And it puts together all the energies of the moment, and it gives you an analysis of it. The problem is, 3 hours later, you're in a new moment. And if you're in a flow, if you've learned to expand and move in the moments, the snapshot's going to be different 3 hours later. It's going to be different the next day. So if you start taking a snapshot of a given moment, and then you think that's the way it is, you will impose your thoughts and visualizations on the snapshot, so it might continue longer than it's supposed to. That's the problem with psychics. I mean, let's say someone is a good psychic, they have the ability to look at the, you know, maybe at lower levels, but to take a snapshot of everything in a given moment. And when it changes, they don't, you know, you're already thinking you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that, and you miss the change. You miss that you should have shifted, and you don't, because you're locked in the words of something. And if you notice, our sources don't ever like to go into prophecies, because when you say something is going to happen, it locks it in. And our goal is to cause things to shift. Now, all of this is really important to implement, because as we've been learning, and I learned this in the reincarnation of Edgar Casey, and I learned it through Daphne and through Terry, and then cross-referencing and Carla Ruckert, we're in a dimensional shift. And in that dimensional shift, there's going to be souls that graduate third dimension and souls that repeat this dimension. And in order to graduate, your higher chakras have to be open, particularly your fourth chakra. And if you don't graduate, you repeat this realm. Now, I don't like to say that, because I know for some people, when they hear that, it starts to create fear, and they say, oh my God, I hope I graduate. In fact, sometimes when we do readings, people ask that. Well, you're in a flow, and we're doing the best we can to give you the access to that energy that you can use to evolve yourself, and learning how it works, what to expect. And I think particularly on our Sunday calls, that energy is so powerful, and so many people email me and tell me how they're feeling it. And I'm trying to give an explanation today for your mind, so your mind can grasp how that works, and that perhaps it seems like magic when it's going on. It seems like it's the Elohim or some, and it is, because they are, you know, they're still individuated, and they're still in the matrix at a very high level. But where they're in the matrix, I believe, is where there is no rigidity in the matrix, where there is free flow, whereas where we are, the matrixes all around us are frozen, are holding tight, and as you know, it's not easy to shift something here. So the goal is to create an interface between you and in this dimension where the energies are held fairly fixed, even at higher levels, they're fixed. You can go through a whole bunch of realms, and it's still in a contracted or compressed matrix. And it's not easy to get above that. But we're giving an example. We're doing it. And we're moving through those matrices and contacting those intelligences that are outside of the fixed matrix. Why is the matrix fixed? Why does it work that way? Well, there's a lot of beings that want it to be fixed, because within the fixed matrix, there's control, there's access to other energies of people, there is, how would I say this? In the fixed geometries, the locked geometries, is sometimes what the Elohim have called it through Terry, they were locked, I believe, by design. And they were locked by design to create an obstacle course that you had to work hard to get through, or you stayed within the locks. And we are all on our obstacle course, all of us, including me, working at freeing ourselves from those stuck geometries and letting in the energies from outside of those stuck geometries so that we can move up the ladder. And when you do that, you start to learn how to bring energies in yourself. We're just setting an example here, but it's your ability and power, each one of you, to have that inside you. And you have to experiment. And sometimes you have to do things unexpectedly, spontaneously. If you notice on these calls, and you keep coming in on them, and I hope it works this way, there's not a pattern. We don't repeat a pattern. They're different. Everyone is different. And I know that if I'm getting bored, if I'm trying to please you, if I'm doing a pattern, then you're not getting it. We're not bringing in the energy. And so in your own life, you have to look for the opportunities to change your pattern, to zig when you thought you were going to zag, so to speak. And that creates a slight bit of randomness that brings in the potentials for different things to happen. Because if you only zig and zag when you're expected to, then you're only zigging and zagging in this contracted matrix, this frozen matrix, and you're going around in circles, which I'm sure many of you understand that idea. So on that note, I'm going to question our sources through Terry and see where this comes out and what light they can shed on it. And the goal here is not just to understand something, but to learn to understand something that you can implement and learn how to apply it so that you can move in the direction that you want to move into. And we say this over and over again. That is that this is not, there's nothing to follow here. This is an attempt, my attempt, to create the connection to energies that empower you, that give you tools to navigate in this realm, and to give you the opportunity to move into your own divinity. And I don't even like to use the word divinity, your own godliness, still the wrong word. Your own ability to be as big as you can be energetically so that you can do that for other people and hold for other people. And that's where the synchronicities, the magic, the healings occur. So, Terry, are you ready?
I'm here, yes.
Are you okay with that topic?
Okay.
Terry knows very little about astrology.
I know almost nothing.
Almost nothing. The only thing about I Ching, Terry.
Well, I know that I used to throw the I Ching and totally forgotten about it now, but I was amazed at what I would read then when I looked up that number on the I Ching and how it applied and how it would take wisdom in it.
Mm-hmm. And how about the tarot? I mean, I know you've been studying a little bit about tarot lately, right?
Well, I wouldn't really even say that very much. I've studied very little tarot.
Mm-hmm.
Very little.
Mm-hmm. I never did tarot. But, you know, in the raw material, it was indicated that it was the Ra group that brought the tarot into this world in the time that David Wilcock had this incarnation in Egypt as a high priest. Those of you that have a connection to Egypt should listen to the workshop I did called The Egyptian Connection. That's got a lot of triggers in it to help release things. So particularly if you identify with Egypt, you probably were there. And Egypt was a major epic time for this planet. And there's a lot of stuff that nobody knows. And yet, things that I figured out that I put in that workshop from cross-referencing things and what actually happened in Egypt, like that little bit about the pyramids, the way that the negative sources in other realms essentially were in control of Egypt, the entire country, for thousands and thousands of years. And all the gods of Egypt, the Isis and et cetera, the Set, were all of the lower negative realms. And that the priesthood of Egypt was essentially the same as the Illuminati today. And it was the precursor to it. And how that priesthood started, in fact, that David Wilcock, Edgar Cayce, was a high priest in Egypt who was closely affiliated with the Ra group. And according to Edgar Cayce and according to Carla Rucker, the Ra group built the pyramids by levitation. But the priesthood took the knowledge, the occult knowledge, the mystical knowledge that was being imparted by the Ra group. They took it to control people instead of lift them. You see, the negative wants to keep you in position. They want to keep you frozen in the matrix. And so they use fear, they use manipulation, they use television, okay? They use whatever they can so that you're frozen in a matrix. And when you're frozen, they can control you. And so there was an attempt to unfreeze the matrix with the rod rope, and then the priest immediately froze it again, and it went negative. And in fact, they even used the word Ra, but they used the wrong word. They used Amun Ra. And if you look at the word Amun, you'll see that Amun later became Amen. And so the whole future of religion was impacted by that period. So it's the Egyptian connection. It's on Intelligent Infinity. And if you're intrigued with Egypt, that workshop, it's 4 hours long, with the workbook, will really potentially trigger a lot of cellular memories. Now, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one. And I could add, outside of the frozen matrix, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. I greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. This is October 1st, 2012. And we are very happy to be able to speak with you and make contact with each and every person that wishes contact to be made with them. And we are, give us a moment as we look at the things that you have mentioned earlier. We see that there are good patterns, and a good pattern is not necessarily a frozen pattern. A frozen pattern is one that is not moving and has no sense. If it needs to be changed, then it's frozen, so it doesn't get changed, and the individual acts in the same manner that they did acted in before, so that all the responses are not to the moment. They are not in present time responding to what is around them. But patterns, if they are not frozen patterns, can be good as they help you organize your life and align your life and align your interactions with other people in determining what patterns you would wish to zig when you might have zagged, or zagged when you might have zigged. But you can look and see whether the pattern is creating any problems for you, whether it is simply a learned response that isn't appropriate in all cases. So when you have a frozen pattern that makes it guides you into inappropriate behavior, and then you notice that you're behaving inappropriately, then that's when you need to take a really close look and observe and how you can and Warzeg to correct what is going on and how you can modify your behavior to the appropriate response. Do you have questions? Are you muted?
There we go. In general, was I kind of accurate in the way that I'm describing the astrology and the tarot and the I Ching?
Give us a moment. There is always the danger when one is reading for another, whether it is psychic or the tarot or the I Ching, to create a fixed pattern or an idea in the person's mind that would then become stable for them, a stable datum that they would then guide their life by and would not allow them the freedom to modify in the moment, as everything is created in the now. So it pays for one to be aware in the now so that they can make the appropriate corrections and not blindly believe predictions, because predictions, if one can change the fundamental setup behind them, the person can be moved to a different alternative outcome.
In the idea of the energy that flows through the galaxies, that there's a particular alignment that's taking place right at this moment that is unusual for the history of mankind. Is that fairly accurate?
Yes, it is accurate. The path of the solar system at this time is moving through a more dense area of the galaxy, and it has unique impulses upon it, based upon its alignment with the center of the Unabku, the center of the galaxy, and the movement of Sagittarius galaxy and the movement of one of the arms of the Milky Way galaxy, and this creates a strong impulse or traction that it does not always have. And this then has an impact upon each small molecular, you would say, particle or molecule, and it, in some parts of the day, acts in favor of aligning even the small molecules and creating a time when the individuals can become more aware and more psychic and have more energetic use of their body systems and their chakra systems. And it affects the energetic system of the body. So this alignment is meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Is the DNA the primary system that's affected, or does it affect all kinds of systems?
It's not only the DNA. It is depending on the individual molecular structures within the body and the alignment of the chakra system and meridians, the whole flow of energy through the body is affected. Similarly to how the body is affected at certain times of the phases of the moon, it is also affected by the energy received from the star system.
Now, how does someone who understands this principle take advantage of it in order to allow those energies to move into their system and impact their evolution?
They can lighten up. They can. We have a concept, and we look for the words to express the concept. To let go of your hand glider and to move with the energies, not to be totally other directed by it, but to lean into it and allow yourself to feel the energy and let the energy flow through your body at the same time as maintaining your own center and your own relationship energetically with the earth.
Thank you. Okay, it's almost time to close the show. And
Ben,
do you have any?
We can go over tonight, Ben.
Pardon me?
You can go over tonight. Yes, you can.
Who said that? Don?
I talked to Don. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is kind of a heady concept. So, do you want to know more, Hive? Is this interesting?
Very interesting.
Is it? You know, when you look at it, and you look at the idea, at least as I understand it, that each of us is a radiant universe, and we come across someone else, and they're a radiant universe with different frequencies. When I was doing astrology, one of the amazing things that happened to me, and this kind of blew me away, is that I would meet somebody, and suddenly I could feel if they had a certain birthday or a certain sign or even a certain moon sign, suddenly I started to feel their energies affecting my energies. And I started to guess their stuff because it was moving inside of me. That's how I proved it to myself. You know, when I started guessing people's signs, I said, this has got to work. And I remember when I was in my first study of astrology, first studying it, I met a guy who was doing astrology charts in a coffee shop in Berkeley. His name is Carol Curry. And I used to sit at the table watching him because he would just be pulling out his ephemeris and doing readings for people. Sometime I'll have Daphne on talking about this because she did astrology. And one day I bumped into Carol Curry, and I had never really spoken to him much except for sitting at the table. And he looked at me and he said, "You're a Sun in Taurus with the Moon in Gemini, aren't you?" And he was right. One chance in 144 that of guessing that. So I knew astrology worked at that point. I knew it worked, and That was like one of the first beginnings I had in studying the universe, wanting to understand how the universe works. So on that note, even though Hi says we can go over tonight, I think I don't want to, and it's 6:56. I will mention I want to thank all of you that clicked on the link on Sunday, and I put it out there today, that we have this little product that really works for a lot of people. And it's something you wear that helps shift your energies, keeps you more positive, makes you less angry. At least that's according to a lot of the people that are wearing them. And we started selling them to stores about a year and a half ago. And we put it in the store in Sedona, the health food store. And in 2 months, they were just flying off the shelf. We sold about 70 or 80. And so we have it. That's one of the ways why we're not on the street right now, because we're selling those things in stores. And we had some that had very, very, very minor little imperfections. So we decided to put them up and sell them in this group, and at a very reduced price that everyone can afford. Plus, it's a great present as Christmas comes up. So periodically, we'll be mentioning that. And it's a way of getting the product and supporting our work as well. And we're not always just saying, please donate. So if you haven't checked it out, go to the mailing we did today. And there's a link and there's a discount code. So you'll see it's selling on the web for $34. And we're selling it for $20, okay? So check it out. And anything you would like to say, Terry?
We are still there looking and here, and
yes.
we see that in this area of the phase of the moon, it is good to avoid confrontations and to take care that you are safe on the road. As during the phase of the full moon, it can destabilize some of the systems that people have been holding down, keeping in place, keeping frozen, and it can begin to move their patterns. And so it is a good time now to be safe and to avoid confrontations. We see each of you in the love light, and we see Japan in love light as they have had a typhoon recently today and yesterday. We thank you for the opportunity to be with you. Adonai.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you, everyone on the line, for joining us. Blessings to all the people that have been supportive. Daphne, Sunday grid yelling, and she told a real historic moment, and sending the light to my sister and to volunteers. And let's take a moment. We have a moment. We don't have to close down. Let's just take a moment of silence and do what we do on Sunday and put our own requests into the light, either for the planet or for ourselves, for our healing, for someone close to us, for the synchronicity to come in, for the job you need. Let's take that moment right now. Okay, we will see you Wednesday when we take your questions. I know some of you have been asking questions, and keep asking. When I see your question over and over again, it actually stimulates me to want to ask it because it's important to you, okay? I can't ask all the questions, but feel free to keep asking a question if you have one, and we'll see you next time.
Unmuted.
And
Good night.
Hi.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Love you all. Good night.
Take care.
Good night,
ma'am.
Good night. Good night. Namyo Rengekyo. Namyo Rengekyo to you, too.
Rengekyo.
And Hare Krishna. Or Hail Mary. Okay, we'll see you later.
Your conference recording has stopped.